from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
At RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first headlines. Central Bank to meet on Wednesday expected to increase rate. Pelindo 3 prepares 14,000 free tickets for 8 day. Those are headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalot Pane. Days after the inauguration of Bank Indonesia Governor Peri Warjio, the Central Bank Board of Governors will meet on Wednesday to discuss the latest economic and monetary issues. Peri said in Jakarta over the weekend that the Board of Governors would continue holding its monthly meeting in the third week of each month, but additional meetings may be held if the Central Bank needed to give a quick response to a certain issue. Several analysts have speculated about the objective of the meeting. Some believe the bank would increase its 7-day reserves repo rate as the rupiah remained under pressure after the rate increased by 25 basis points to 4.50% on May 17. In a meeting in August 2013, Bank Indonesia increased the reference rate by 50 basis points to 7%. Head of Gajah Mada University's Economy and Public Policy Studies Center, Tony Prasetyantono, estimated that Bank Indonesia would increase the rate by 25 basis points, saying that the bank needed to increase the rate by 50 basis points this month. Meanwhile, head of the University of Indonesia's Economic and Social Investigation Center, Febrio Kacaribu, said the central bank needed to monitor the market carefully before making a decision on the rate. He said capital outflow had started to slow down. Indonesian state-owned port PT Pelindo 3 provides 14,000 passenger tickets for free homecoming before 8-day holiday. It is meant to provide facilities to low-income people and to improve the state-owned services for the country. President Director of PT Pelindo 3, Ari Akshkara, Sunday, May 27, said Pelindo 3 is ready to serve their homecomers using ships to all over Indonesia and provide the best service possible to them. Ari said the free homecoming through the sea lane, intended for their homecomers from Central Java, East Java, Bali, Borneo, and Nusa Tenggara. He said Pelindo 3 provides a total of 14,000 tickets, which 4,500 of them for Central Java, 8,000 for East Java, and the rest for Kalimantan and Bali. In addition, Pelindo 3 also provides a homecoming service from the CityLink aircraft for their destination to Java Island. It means when the demand for the sea lane is full, people can be accommodated through the service of aviation. Pelindo 3 General Manager of Tanjung Emas Port, Ardi Wahyu Basuki, stated that his party will provide the free bus for the 7 points of homecoming destination. He said his party has already built a number of supporting facilities and infrastructure, including platforms, portable toilets, and personnel involving the security. The Ma'arif Institute for Culture and Humanity granted an award to Abdul Rashid Wahab, an 81-year-old pluralism advocate from Shikhar Regency, East Nusa Tenggara, during this year's Ma'arif Award ceremony in Jakarta on Sunday. Abdul Aka'aba was selected out of 30 shortlisted nominees for his long-standing commitment to preserving religious tolerance in Shikhar Regency, a predominantly Christian region. His achievements include his role in moderating tension between Catholics and non-Catholics in 1995 and assisting victims of the Mount Roka Tenda eruption. He also founded the Muhammadiyah Educational Foundation in Maumere, the seat capital of Shikhar Regency, in which 80% of its students were either Catholics or Protestants. Ma'arif Institute Executive Director M. Abdul Daras, during a press conference in Jakarta on Sunday, said the awards will inspire other leaders to strengthen bonds between civilians and to empower them as well. The Biennale Award was named after the institute's founder, Ahmad Safi Ma'arif, a prominent intellectual and former leader of Muhammadiyah, the country's second-largest Islamic organization. The awards acknowledge individuals and institutions who contribute to promoting tolerance, diversity, and social justice. House Speaker Bambang Susatyo has urged the National Police to take anticipatory action against groups or civil society organizations that try to extort aid or fitter allowance for business sectors. Bambang said in a press statement obtained in Jakarta on Sunday, there should be concrete actions to ensure that certain groups who ask for aid or fitter allowance do not cause unrest. Bambang also hoped that police at the regional and resort levels are responsive to community reports, including reports on aid or fitter allowance demand by certain groups to business actors. The unsympathetic actions like these must be prevented before it develops into a bad habit, he noted, adding, recently it was a viral issue about a letter with a specific form that the content requesting aid al-fitr allowances to the business actors. According to him, aid al-fitr allowances requests in an undue or conceivable manner may not be allowed. Therefore, Bambang asked the police to immediately address the issue with the anticipatory measures or take action in order to avoid intimidation. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The organizing committee of the upcoming 18 Asian Games in Skok has claimed that the opening ceremony stage of the upcoming 18 Asian Games will be the largest and heaviest compared to other Olympic or Asian Games. Wisnu Utama, creative director of the opening and closing ceremonies of the Asian Games, sat in Jakarta on Sunday that the opening ceremony stage of the 2018 Asian Games will be the biggest one in the world, even compared to any Olympics, including the height, size, and weight of its construction. The 18 Asian Games will be held from August 18 to September 2, 2018, in Jakarta and the South Sumatra provincial capital city of Palembang. Wisnu Utama said, the performers of the opening ceremony of the Asian Games still undergoing training in Jakarta and a number of regions in Indonesia. In Skok involves nearly 10,000 dancers, so we should spread the locations of their practice site before holding a joint exercise at the opening ceremony location. In Skok also involves dance directors Denny Malik and Eko Suprianto in the opening and closing ceremonies of the Asian Games, besides the music director Eddie M.S. and Ronald Yunardi, and fashion stylist Dainan Farid and Rinaldi Yunardi. Denny said he has trained around 250 dancers from 18 senior high schools in Jakarta, adding that they would showcase Indonesian cultural dances packed with the modern elements. The Board of Indonesian Hotel and Restaurant Association PHRI of Papua Province revealed the hotel occupancy rate during Ramadan decreased by 50%. Chairman of the association, Syahri Hasan, in Jayapura, Sunday, said the average occupancy reached 70% before Ramadan, but during Ramadan, it became 50% because many of the government activities were postponed. He explained the decrease is not necessarily followed by a decrease in income, because at the moment of Ramadan, many parties, both government, state-owned enterprises and private, hold the brick fasting together at the hotel. According to him, the hotel occupancy rate will improve after Ramadan because government activities are believed to return to normal. He claimed the decrease is not only occurred in Papua but almost throughout Indonesia. Sahril added that every moment of the World Cup organizing like this year is usually used by the hotel management to create a watching together event because the demand is quite a lot and it can increase the revenue. He reminded the hotel management who want to hold a watching together event to ask for the permission to the parties who hold the commercial license and also to the security apparatus. A newly installed statue of the first Indonesian President Sukarno will serve as the fire cauldron during the opening ceremony of the 2018 Asian Games at Gelora Bung Karno Sports Complex in Central Jakarta on August 18. At the opening ceremony, the torch relay of the Asian Games flame will light the cauldron to mark the beginning of the largest sporting event in Asia. The organizing committee of the upcoming 18 Asian Games, Ines Kark, Deputy 2 of Games Operations, Francis Wanandi, said the current position of the statue at the stadium was not final, but it would remain at the sports complex in central Jakarta after the Games closed on September 2nd. Francis said on Sunday, the statue will be the cauldron for the Asian Games. The Games are slated to start on August 18 and end on September 2nd in Jakarta and Palembang. It will be its 18th installment and the second time for Indonesia to host the event. The Games torch relay will begin on August 15 in New Delhi, India, the host of the first Games. The torch will be taken to Merapen, Central Java, to be fused with an internal flame to start the national relay. The flame will travel to 53 cities in the country before ending the journey at Gelora Bung Karno Stadium. Well, listener, that was the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today is Artists for the Opening of Asian Games. The implementation of the 18th Asian Games is a few months to come. The opening of every 4 years of these Asian Games will be held on August 18, 2018 in Jakarta, Indonesia. The implementation will be held in Jakarta and Palembang, South Sumatra. The preparation for the event, including infrastructure and facilities, has reached more than 90%. Series reports, which are currently being prepared by the Asian Games 2018 Organizing Committee in Nascot, are both the opening and closing ceremonies of the 2018 Asian Games. Around 5,500 performers and 141 musicians are involved, including top Indonesian singers and musicians who take part in the 18 Asian Games to succeed. What is the message to be conveyed through artwork by artists for the Asian Games? Director of Recording Industrial Association of Indonesia, Asiri, Yusat Irwan Sutiono, expressed his true involvement because he feels that the Asian Games is for all and should be supported. This feels like an official team SON Asian Games 2018, bright as sun. Raise the flag of your nation, located on the highest pole. Make your young soul carve history. The spirit of competition is felt in the lyrics of the song, because every athlete will certainly do his or her best efforts to record history for Indonesia. The message is also a driving force for Indonesian athletes to present the best for the nation and country. The best contributions are also being prepared by other artists. Over 250 dancers from 18 high schools in Jakarta have joined intensive training to perform Indonesian modern package culture. while 2,000 professional dancers, high school students, and art college students are also engaged to be part of the spectacular opening and closing performance of the Asian Games. The involvement of the artists in the 18th Asian Games means a lot, because frequently the success of a sporting event is measured from the opening and closing ceremonies. Moreover, the ceremony will be broadcast to 45 countries in Asia and some other continents such as American continent. Great expectations are concentrated on the hard work of Indonesian artists or art workers who refer to creative groups and the committee who had more than 1 year to prepare the opening and closing of the 2018 Asian Games. Moreover, there are Olympic standards that the Asian Games must fulfill. For Indonesia, the Asian Games not only organizes sporting competition but also becomes one of the media to promote Indonesian strength and potential. The opening and closing ceremonies of the 2018 Asian Games become golden moment to perform the work of Indonesian artists, who are parallel with the world artistic creation. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello listener, nice to be with you in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. While we start for an event on May 28, 1964, when the Palestine Liberation Organization, PLO, was established. The Palestine Liberation Organization, PLO, is officially a political organization of Palestine, which was recognized by international world. The organization consists of a number of organizations of resistance, law experts, students, laborers, and teachers. The organization seeks a state of Palestine in between Mediterranean and Jordan. Since the PLO's establishment until the death of Yasser Arafat in 2004, Yasser Arafat was chairman of the organization. Palestine Liberation Organization was established on May 28, 1964, after he united all Palestinian organizations of resistance under one organization, Al-Fatah, in 1950s. At the beginning of the establishment, PLO under supporting of Arafat, with his Al-Fatah attacked Israel simultaneously. Israel also launched attack to PLO's headquarters in Lebanon, for its persistence that attracted the attention of international community. In 1969, Arafat was installed as a chairman of PLO. After being the chairman, Arafat began to leave anti-attack activity and tried to establish government in exile. Some important steps which were conducted by him succeeded to make PLO gaining the Arab League recognition as the only one Palestinian organization in 1974. Also in November 1974, PLO was the only one non-governmental organization which obtained a chance to speak before the United Nations General Assembly. The next event is that in 2000, Maraden Holomuan Panggabean, former chairman of Supreme Advisory Council, passed away. Maraden Holomuan Panggabean, who was born in Tarutun, North Sumatra on June 29, 1922, before his career in military began his career as a teacher in his region. Japanese arrival in early 1940s finally changed his life to be military personnel. After struggling to defend independence in 1945-1950, Maraden's career in military was commander of army in 1969, minister of defense and security, concurrently commander of Indonesia military in 1974-1978, and coordinating minister of politics and security in development cabinet 3 in 1978-1983 in the new regime, led by President Suharto. After being chairman of Supreme Advisory Council in 1983-1993, Maraden got retired and he passed away on May 28, 2000. And the last event is that in 2008, Nepal Kingdom changed to be Republic. After acid nation occurrence of kin and family on June 1, 2001 and civil war with communist community of Maoist, Nepal was in long conflict. Until 2006, Nepal was the only one Hindu kingdom in the world, but due to political conflict endlessly, in 2006, Nepal parliamentary declared Nepal to be a secular state. Finally, on May 28, 2008, officially, Nepal changed its government system from kingdom to republic. So that officially Nepal kingdom changed to the Republic of Nepal. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku. My Indonesia.
Hello listener, this is RRI World Service, a daily segment, My Indonesia. Today it's on Indonesia and Peru agreed to increase economic cooperation. Stay tuned. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi met her counterpart Philippine Minister Nestor Francisco Bobulisio Berdales in Lima, Peru on last Wednesday. During the meeting, they discussed bilateral cooperation between the two countries. A press release of the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry in Jakarta on Tuesday stated that the walking visit of Minister Retno Marsudi to Lima was the best official visit to Peru since the opening of diplomatic relations between the two countries in 1975. In the meeting, Minister Retno Marsudi said that Peru is an important market for Indonesia, and the economic cooperation between the two countries has not yet reflected the existing potential. Peru is the fourth largest trading partner for Indonesia in South America. The value of bilateral trade between Indonesia and Peru in 2017 increased by 5.3% compared with the previous year. To enhance trade cooperation, the two foreign ministers agree on the importance of trade agreements between both countries. Minister Retno also expressed the importance of working harder to improve interaction between entrepreneurs and diversifying products in trade between the two countries. Thus, she invited Peruvian entrepreneurs to attend Trade Expo Indonesia, TEI, in October 2018. She also compared Indonesia's planned participation in the Explomentaria and Mistura Food Festival in Peru this year. In addition to trade cooperation, both foreign ministers also discussed efforts to improve cooperation in agriculture, fisheries, and social culture. Relating to that, the government of Indonesia proposed the establishment of Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, CEPA, between Indonesia and Peru to be implemented gradually, starting with the Trade in Goods Agreements, or TIGA. Beyond bilateral issues, both of them also exchange ideas on various regional and global issues such as the issue of refugees from Venezuela and Rakhine State, reports to apprehend the use of chemical weapons, and issue of concern in the UN Security Council. Furthermore, the Peruvian government expressed support for Indonesia's nomination as a non-permanent member of the UN Security Council, and the election will be held on June 8, 2018. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia. Thanks for listening.
Here is news in brief from Daulat Pane. Days after the inauguration of Bank Indonesia Governor Peri Warjio, the Central Bank Board of Governors will meet on Wednesday to discuss the latest economic and monetary issues. Indonesian state-owned port PT Pelindo 3 provides 14,000 passenger tickets for free homecoming before 8-day holiday. It is meant to provide facilities to low-income people and to improve the state-owned service for the country. The Ma'arif Institute for Culture and Humanity granted an award to Abdul Rashid Wahab, an 81-year-old pluralism advocate from Sika Regency, Nusa Tenggara, during this year's Ma'arif Awards ceremony in Jakarta on Sunday. Abdul Akaba was selected out of 30 shortlisted nominees for his long-standing commitment to preserving religious tolerance in Sika Regency. House Speaker Bambang Susatyo has urged the National Police to take anticipatory actions against groups or civil society organizations that try to extort Eid al-Fitr allowance from business sectors. The organizing committee of the upcoming 18 Asian Games in Skok has claimed that the opening ceremony stage of the upcoming 18 Asian Games will be the largest and heaviest compared to other Olympic or Asian Games. The Board of Indonesian Hotel and Restaurant Association of Papua Province revealed the hotel occupancy rate during Ramadan decreased by 50%. Chairman of the association, Sarwi Hasan, in Jayapura Sunday said the average occupancy reached 50% before Ramadan, but during Ramadan it became 50% because many of government activities were postponed. A newly installed statue of the first Indonesian President Sukarno will serve as the fire cauldron during the opening ceremony of the 2018 Asian Games at Gelora Bung Karno Sport Complex in Central Jakarta on August 18. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Paniai Lake in Papua. Stay tuned. Listeners, Papua Nature presents amazing natural enchantment endlessly, such as beach, mountain, cave, and lake. One of the lakes which has amazing scenery is Paniai Lake, located at East Paniai District, Paniai Regency, Papua Province. Listeners, earlier, Paniai Lake, Tigi, and Tage Lake are names. Whistle Merend, the name is a name of pilot of the Dutch nation, namely Fritz Julius Whistle, who discovered the three lakes for the first time. In the Dutch colonial, the name of Whistle Merend was more popular compared to Paniai. Wisselmeren comes from the Dutch language, meaning Wissel Lakes. Paniai Lakes is the best and the most beautiful lake throughout the world, which was announced in the World Lake Conference in India on November 30, 2007, among 157 countries that own lakes. Listeners, Paniai Lake has 14,500 hectares wide and its height is 1,700 meters above sea level. Because of its high location, Paniai Lake's air is so fresh. Besides having fresh air, Panier Lake also has stones and sand on its banks and is also surrounded by high cliff. It creates interesting attraction for tourists. Behind the beauty of the nature of Panier Lake, the lake also stores various kinds of fresh fish and shrimp. There are many species of freshwater fish which are found in this lake. Rainbow fish is the most searched by fishermen and fish collectors because the fish has high economic value. Listeners, tourism activities at Panier Lake that can be enjoyed by visitors are walking surrounding the lake, fishing, or grilling fish. The visitors can also climb hills at the lake. From peak of the hills, they can witness the beauty of amazing nature. To go to the lake, we can depart from Enarotali City, the capital city of Panier Regency, and from the city we can go by bus heading to the tourism object. If the visitors want to stay at night around the lake, they can stay at some lodgings or local residence houses. Listeners, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Nomor Rumah, or in English, House Number. Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about nomor rumah, or in English, house number. Tony and taxi driver arrive on Jalan Garuda. The taxi driver is difficult to find the house number 5 since there are not available numbers on the houses there. The taxi driver then asks the people.
Permisi, maaf mau tanya.
Ya.
Yang mana ya rumah nomor 5?
Maaf, saya tidak tahu. Saya bukan orang sini.
Oh, maaf.
After the conversation, now I'll introduce some expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice, and you can follow after me. Permisi, maaf mau tanya. Permisi, maaf mau tanya. In English, excuse me, may I ask you? Yang mana? Yang mana? In English, which one? Rumah nomor 5. Rumah nomor 5. In English, house number 5. Saya tidak tahu. Saya tidak tahu. In English, I do not know. Saya bukan orang sini. Saya bukan orang sini. In English, I do not live here.
ask about option or choices, you can use question mark yang mana in English which one. In a dialogue, the driver asks about yang mana rumah nomor 5, yang mana rumah nomor 5. In English, which one is the house number 5? Phrase number 5 can be changed with the name of the owner of the house. For example, Pak Joko. Yang mana rumah Pak Joko? Yang mana rumah Pak Joko? In English, which one is Pak Joko's house? Now, in the dialogue, the people will answer, saya tidak tahu. Saya tidak tahu. In English, sorry, I do not know. Saya bukan orang sini. Saya bukan orang sini. In English, I do not live here. The sentence saya bukan orang sini means he or she does not live in the area. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for your listening clearly, let's follow again the conversation.
Permisi, maaf mau tanya.
Ya.
Yang mana ya rumah nomor 5?
Maaf, saya tidak tahu. Saya bukan orang sini.
Oh, maaf.
As an exercise, please send us your voice recording in Indonesian language to our email address at voi@voinews.id. There will be interesting prizes for the selected senders. Please describe a tourist spot in your country by mentioning the country's name, the name of tourism object, the location, and the weather in that place. Please convey more information if any. For example, Selamat pagi. Negara saya Indonesia memiliki tempat wisata Candi Prambanan yang terletak di kota Yogyakarta. Cuaca sekitar Candi Prambanan panas. Gudeg adalah makanan khas Yogyakarta. Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present Indonesian Kroncong Song. Well listener, let's listen to the song entitled Lamunan Kalbu by Teti Supangat. Happy listening.
Pasir puspa hening suram mengerita pedih pilu nan menyayang kau menjelang jiwaku dalam alun pantai.
sendiri. Merenung menghadap laut biru, terkenang masa yang lampau. Sepi tiada bersuara, hanya terdengar suara angin berbisik sepanjang pantai. Aku duduk bersendiri, merenung menghadap laut biru, terkenang masa yang lampau. Dikala sepi tiada bersuara, hanya terdengar suara angin berbisik sepanjang pantai.
That was the song Lamunan Kalbu by Teti Supangat, one of the talented Indonesian Kroncong singers. Although quite active and often dedicated Kroncong songs in Indonesia, there is not much information about her career in the entertainment industry. The song Lamunan Kalbu tells the story of someone who feels deep love to her beloved man. The song Lamunan Kalbu is an original rhythmic song that was sung very well by Teti Supangat. Her melodious and beautiful voice is perfect in bringing the original Kroncong song. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Tugu Monas by Klana Hermawan. Happy listening.
Thank you.
That was the original Kronchong song with beautiful lyrics. As the title, the song tells about national monument, which standing towering in the heart of Jakarta with a symbol of fire on the peak. Monas is an icon that became the pride especially of people of Jakarta and Indonesia, and also known in foreign countries. Around it, there is a large and shady garden, so many residents who come and enjoy the beauty. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Riwayat Sangkuriang by Teti Supangat and Indonesiaku by Yayu Haryono. Happy listening.
So
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.